Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
Approximately 59% of students at Howard University are eligible for a Pell Grant. Federal Pell Grants are the largest source of federally funded grants. The number one reason our students, the best and the brightest, stop out and or do not graduate is due to lack of financial support. With 35 years of experience in higher education administration, she is driven by challenges and here to make a difference. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the Assistant Vice President and Deputy Chief Financial Officer at Howard University, Anamika Martinez. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Dr. Frederick.
Tell us a little bit about where you were born. You have a very interesting background and history, so I'm very curious about that.
I really don't claim one country. I was born in Holland. Grew up in Brazil. My mother is Dutch, blonde and blue-eyed. Mm. My father is from Suriname. His parents emigrated from India. But I grew up in Brazil, always gone to an American school, so... It's all over the place.
It's all over the place. What was family life like, especially with all that moving around?
Very different from what the norm is. My mother was Dutch. My parents met at the university in Holland. My mother comes from the middle class area. Her father owned a nursery. My father's family, he was one of 11 siblings, and he's only one of two who attained a higher education degree. Most of them were cab drivers, secretaries, and so forth. Growing up, living in Brazil, go from Dutch to English, back to Dutch to Portuguese. You know, there are words in certain languages that really express what you want to say. So friends coming over to visit would kind of look at us funny and said, okay, we switched again. Got to switch back to the language that you understand. I have an older sister, a younger brother. He passed away in 89 very suddenly, which was one of those calls you get in the middle of the night to know you don't want to get.
How many languages do you speak?
Four.
What languages?
Dutch, English, Portuguese, and Spanish.
Okay.
So some of the languages come and go, so I just came back from Holland, so I think I've now switched back to thinking in English.
Right.
But
okay.
You know, I'll switch over. My husband will look at me funny, say, you switch back to English.
Okay. And your husband, what was that like meeting him? Does he have that same global perspective?
He does not. He is born and raised in Alexandria, Virginia. He did not leave the United States until we left for our honeymoon to Bermuda.
Right.
Was his first time he left. I met him through friends from Brazil, and I met him when I was 15. So we became best friends and developed into a different kind of relationship, and we just celebrated our 33rd. We will celebrate our 33rd wedding anniversary this year.
Okay, excellent. So, obviously, your father had a background in higher ed and obviously used that to obviously rise to become an ambassador, and that gave you an exposure. What was your life like in terms of your educational life, especially having to change schools, changing languages, learning different concepts in so many different languages? What led you to college, and tell us a little bit about that journey.
Throughout my entire life, my father, actually both my parents, just stressed the value of education. And it's one of the things my father would repeat over and over again is that education is something no one can ever take away from you. Knowledge is power. And give yourself the opportunity to learn as much as you can, and that's always become the resource to help you build yourself back up should that need arise. Being drilled at the dinner table, world capitals, multiplication facts. You know, my friends did not like having dinner with us because they were drilled as well on these things. So I started at Georgetown. I was an international student. I could only work on campus. For financial reasons, I had to work. So I was working full-time and going to school full-time. But the school still came first. And just, you know, it's just something that's just been ingrained in me. Given the opportunities that I had at Georgetown, every time I got ready to for a new opportunity, new challenge, an opportunity would come up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'd been there for as long as I have. Mm-hmm. I really value educating students and are just teaching, is or sharing my knowledge, I should say. Mm-hmm. One of the best experiences I had at Georgetown is I taught GED classes, and that was an incredibly rewarding opportunity.
Now, clearly as well, having been at a university here in D.C. for that long period of time and having been an international student yourself, having to work in order to obviously probably help fund part of your education, mm-hmm. I would imagine that you now, in the role of a deputy CFO at a university, you probably have a very different perspective about how students pay for college and with rising costs. What are some of the things that you think you bring to the situation and that you've gleaned from over that period of time?
There are always going to be different pressures on you, different things that you have to deal with, and some issues may be very looming, and there's a tendency to say, okay, well, I need to stop and, you know, work more hours to either help myself or pay my bills or to help out with family. But I cannot stress enough the importance of having an education and the tools that that gives you. And yes, it's a hardship. It was really rough working full-time and going to school full-time. I gave up all. Usually when students come to university, there's the learning inside the classroom and very much outside the classroom. I didn't have time to really learn outside the classroom because I was not in class or doing homework. I was working. Mm-hmm. So that was my trade-off, but I did not want to give up the educational aspect. So my recommendation is, in as much as possible, is to take advantage of every opportunity you have to learn, to expand your knowledge, to put that forth, because it will pay back in years to come.
You're listening to The Genie. My guest today is the Assistant Vice President and Deputy Chief Financial Officer at Howard University, Anamika Martinez. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just to make a little bit of a pivot, obviously with that experience and with the fact that you clearly are a firm supporter of students continuing to learn and to get all of those opportunities, you are currently a student and pursuing your executive MBA. Tell me why that now and what has driven you to that.
I will be a student for 2 more weeks. again, this business about working full-time and going to school is a challenging, and I can't thank my husband enough for his support during this. Actually, I started my MBA 30 years ago. I took a leave of absence because we were expecting our first child, and unfortunately, I had morning sickness 24/7 for 9 months, and I just couldn't handle doing both. Well, that 1 year leave of absence turned into 30. And so, again, because of my strong belief in education, I wanted to finish it. I go back and finish it. At this point in my career, an MBA degree is not going to make a significant difference in terms of opportunities or compensation. But it was something, just my belief in education, is something I wanted to finish, to cross off my bucket list.
And obviously, during that period of time, you had 30 years of real-life experiences.
Yes.
and garnered lots of information as a result. Now, in your role here at the university, you are intimately involved with the academic aspects of mm-hmm. finance. And clearly, there is a bit of difficulty with trying to do, as I like to say, God's work in terms of educating folks who otherwise would not have an opportunity, but recognizing that we don't have access to God's time and God's money to do so. And so trying to close that gap. What do you see as some of the strategic things that you would like to bring to the university in terms of trying to get that aspect of what we do in a way that the faculty can feel free to, you know, do what they have to do in the classroom, and students can come here and really enjoy all of the aspects without having to worry about being able to afford it?
One of the things that I am very passionate about is operational efficiencies and resource optimizing resource allocation. And first and foremost, we need to give our students the opportunity to attend and get a degree. But we also need to be mindful that we need to have the resources to give them that opportunity. So that becomes that balance. I think the big thing for Howard would be for everyone to have access to the information that they need in order to be able to make informed decisions. One of the things that I've noted, and as many others have as well, is we need to update the information systems at Howard. When we are able to do that, I think that will enable our deans and our faculty to be able to go into the system directly to see the information that they currently do not have direct access to. Currently, they get that information in terms of reports, which may not be in the time frame that they need. Being able to do more data analysis on the information, on the data that we have to give us information to make decisions, looking at how our courses are distributed, what courses are students taking versus not, how we are using our faculty in terms of research service and instruction, and what that balance might be.
Now, most institutions, just like the one you came from, Georgetown, have moved away from merit-based scholarships, recognizing that the need that students have is great. The difference here at Howard is that we have such a large number of needy students, and we have very high-performing students as well, trying to find that, I would say, that balance. What are your thoughts about, as we continue to move to a full need-based program, what are your thoughts about that and about potentially stopping merit-based aid?
Well, so Georgetown has been need-based for a number of years, decades, I would say. And it has been very challenging to do and to maintain. As the economy fluctuates, so does the need fluctuate. So that's a big difference between being better able to manage your expenses with a merit program as opposed to a need program. But like Howard, Georgetown is also very committed to providing and making education affordable for the students who qualify. In terms of managing that going forward is financial aid, looking at donors to be able to commit to the institution to create scholarship funds, general scholarship funds that are not restricted in too restrictive a manner to help offset that cost. Looking at and planning for it, setting aside institutional funds, and just building that over a period of time. It takes discipline because as we want to set aside funds for scholarships and to make the education more affordable for our students, we're giving up other things, other investments that the university might need. And again, it becomes that balance in being supportive to our students, giving them the opportunity, but still having the infrastructure in place to be able to educate those students to Howard standard.
And as we wrap, you spent 35 years at Georgetown and decided to move across town. Why Howard?
Why now is because the opportunity presented itself. I had been looking off and on very casually for, I'd say, about 5-6 years. I thrive on being challenged, and after spending as much time as I had at the university and in my current position at Georgetown, I was ready for a change and ready to be re-challenged again. So when the search firm reached out to me and I read the position description, my immediate reaction was this would be an opportunity where I could leverage the knowledge and experience I gained at Georgetown and use it to make a difference at Howard. And the position also afforded me opportunity to grow. Again, that educational aspect and that challenge coming in. Looking at Howard's mission and the community-centered values, two values that are very important to me. And then during the interview process, the people that I met, I was very impressed with. I was very impressed as well with the vision that you have for Howard and where you want to go. And the opportunity to be able to leverage my skills that I've attained and felt I could make a difference here.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been the Assistant Vice President and Deputy Chief Financial Officer at Howard University, Anamika Martinez. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.